If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Mike Kegley. We're going to do something a little different tonight. We're going to talk to Kevin Ducey. You may have heard him on the Keeping It Orange and Blue podcast. We will talk Illini football, a little bit of Illini basketball, and we'll find out what he likes to stream, because we all need additional TV shows and movies that we can watch. You need that to-do list out there. We're going to help you fill that out. We'll be right back after this message.
Are you looking to grow your business? Do that with the Illini Guys Radio Network by advertising on the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. The weekly two-hour syndicated show airs on more than 20 stations and is heard in six states throughout the Midwest, including Chicago, St. Louis, the Quad Cities, Peoria, Bloomington, Springfield, Champaign, Decatur, Rockford, and Quincy, just to name a few, with a reach of more than 11 million people. For information, send an email to mike@illiniguys.com and let's work together to grow your business. That's mike@illiniguys.com and let the power and reach of the Illini Guys Network work for you.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-961-2480. 800-961-2480. 800-961-2480. 800-961-2480.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Mike Kegley. Today, we're going to do something different. We're having on Kevin Ducey, who's from Keeping It Orange and Blue, one of the other Illini podcasts out there. One of the things that we try to do at Illini Guys is we try to get along with everybody. There's a lot of Illini news and a lot of different voices that you can listen to. So I thought we'd bring Kevin on and talk a little bit about Illini football. We'll even get into a little bit of where the Illini basketball program is. Kevin, thanks for coming on.
Oh, thanks for having me, Mike. You guys at the Illini Guys have not only provided tons of information for the fandom that's out there, but also been great to me, all of you, yourself, Brad, Kedrick, Matt, and go down the list. I've been a subscribing member basically since it started, and have shared that you guys do top-notch work over and over again. So it's an honor to be brought onto the show. So thank you so much, brother. Appreciate
perfect,
it.
Perfect. So we were talking in the break. There have been quite a few successes for Brett Bielema in terms of recruiting recently.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts at what he's doing recruiting-wise and the effect that he's having when he's out there marketing the family brand, which it seems when we talk to players, we're starting to see a little bit of resonance in that. And I'm wondering what your thoughts are.
Well, one of the biggest things with Brett Bielema, and you might not see him adapt as quickly on the field, but I think we're starting to see it from a recruiting standpoint. And, you know, NIL now seems like it's been around forever, but it's still pretty darn new, you know. And I think that Bielema's thought process of, hey, listen, we're not going to guarantee offers to folks with NIL money who are coming into the program. We're going to mainly utilize that dollars for players to stay. I don't want to say it was misguided, but it really wasn't working. Certainly it worked to keep guys like the law firm together for another year, but it wasn't really helping us when it came to getting guys on campus. And guys can tell you one thing, but the almighty dollar makes a big difference. I mean, you look at a guy like Coleman Hawkins, who said, you know, he wanted to go play for a team with a big football program and potentially for a national championship. And I'm sorry, Kansas State doesn't scream that to me. And I'm not knocking Coleman. I love the kid. He'd be a fool not to take $2 million if that reported offer is actually true. And we can talk about the center from East Carolina that ended up going to Auburn, who said he wasn't concerned about NIL. Yeah, right, dude. I mean, it's like you and me telling people we're not concerned about the dollars and cents in our pocket that we're utilizing to pay for our families. It's foolishness. And I think that Brett's ability to adapt there quicker than he probably will on the football field is really going to help. And I think you're seeing that's coming to fruition with some of these recruits that we're landing recently. We're landing guys with a lot of P4 offers. So the ever-changing landscape of college football. And I think these are guys you want. And I also think he's probably adjusted with his coaching staff and who we've hired. Bringing in Step was a huge hit. The defensive backs coach, who all of a sudden I'm having a brain fart. I've been out in the sun all day. Those guys are proving their merits and their worth right off the bat. And I think that Brett has actually made some strides to hire coaches that are more apt in recruiting, and you are seeing Illinois start to elevate. We have phenomenal facilities. We are in arguably the second best conference, probably without a doubt the second best conference in college football right now. So there's a lot of draw and a lot of appeal to that. And so I'm excited. I've been down on him for a little bit. I was very bullish on Brett, and then I started to wane. And now that he's doing that, because I think one of the things that he really does do and he has proven throughout his tenure as a coach is that they do develop players. Like, guys grow and get better in the program. But, you know, it's much easier to grow a 3-star into a contributor, or a 4-star into a high-level contributor, than it is to take a guy with a bunch of MAC offers or non-P4 offers and try and figure that out. So excited with what he's doing. We got to see some results on the football field this year. Obviously, if we can get back to a bowl game, that will prove its worth going forward, but that's going to be really tough with the schedule.
I thought he's had a pretty good offseason, particularly when I look at the triumvirate of Corey Parker as a defensive back coach, Clint sent him at outside linebackers, and Justin Stepp at wide receiver. He's bringing in, like, just using those three as an example, bringing in guys who can recruit. Obviously, Thad Ward. Those are guys who command respect in recruiting circles. I think Archie McDaniel, again, I don't want to leave anybody out. When we go to what they're recruiting, I wonder how you look at recruits, because it seems to me there's two ways to look at recruits, and I think both ways need to be balanced, and how you do that might be up to the individual. When you beat guys who are being recruited by other teams, particularly the Purdue's, Michigan State's, those teams, I think that's an important barometer. We're in a tough tussle with Missouri on a recruit or two. Winning from those teams is really important. And then I think the second thing, and I do like the stars. If Illinois could have all 5 stars, I would be for it. But
100%.
But I also think, though, that sometimes you have to balance, because sometimes there are guys, if they never get mentioned in the breath of Ohio State, well, they're not going to be a 5-star. And so you can get guys who are 3-stars who are pretty talented. How do you look at recruiting in terms of evaluating recruits?
Well, because I'm not able to go watch these guys play or and watch film, and obviously the trenches are always going to be the most difficult, right? You've got a kid who's 6'6", 290 pounds, and he's blocking a 6'3", 205 pound of defensive end. I mean, it's really tough to evaluate, is that guy actually any good or not? So kind of lean on the experts. But first and foremost, I do exactly what you said, Mike. I look at their offer list and I want to know who are they battling out. And what I'm seeing now is we're battling, even just like you said, Purdue's and Michigan State's, but teams like Cincinnati, and that's kind of, NC State, that's kind of like where I think our program should aspire to be is, NC State's made something like 18 out of the past 20 years, they made a bowl game. And while they're not viewed as some powerhouse in college football, they're very effective. And I think that we all believe at Illinois that that is something we should aspire to be. I don't know that we can, and maybe Wisconsin or Iowa would be really way up there for us, but I just like this to be a hyper competitive football team. When you're like, you're going to play Illinois, you're going to get some pub and you're going to realize what we're doing. So looking at us, first of all, are we battling those folks? Do the players have some position versatility? And then frankly, I lean on you guys, man. I lean on Illini guys. I lean on the other websites. I lean on Mike Farrell to tell me what the thoughts are, because I go back to Illini guys, specifically when Matt Bailey was recruited. The folks internally were like, "Hey, y'all, this is a low 3-star with not a lot of offers. He's jumping off the page. Like, he has the ability, or he's jumping out when you have the opportunity and your staff see him at camp." And I put some validity in that. And then we saw it, and we had it last year with I'm gonna screw up his name. It was Max Recidivich.
Yes,
Yeah,
Recidivich, yep.
right. And he showed that he has the ability to play. He stepped on the field as a true freshman. He was not a highly sought after guy. So that's kind of where I look, and you just kind of filter through the buzz of what's going on. And then, I've always made the joke is, a three star in Florida is a 4-star in Missouri. A 3-star in Texas is a 4-star in Kansas. You kind of look at where these guys are playing, especially if they're playing in the major metros, they're playing for the big programs. The names you see, you kind of give it some validity there. And dude, football's the biggest crapshoot there is, because we can talk basketball a little bit later. You play 8-9 guys. You come on board, you have a scholarship. We know real quickly whether or not you're going to be able to stick on the team for one or be a contributor pretty darn quickly. With football, I mean, we had AJ Dennis on our show, and unfortunately, he went back to Michigan State. But I talked to him about it. I'm like, "Hey, brother, you're going to be patient, because there's a chance you might not see the field till you're a redshirt sophomore." And I've actually got some friends and kids of mine that are going to play college football and that are playing, especially in the trenches. And I'm like, "Are you willing to sit for 2 years? Because that's what it's going to take." And by then, the average fan, we've stopped worrying about you. We're worried about the guys on the field. And now we're hoping you can step up and make some contributions. So it's a challenge in football, especially the trenches are the hardest, and they're the hardest to evaluate. So I lean on those guys in the know.
Isn't it amazing how Brett Bielema's got quite a reputation in terms of offensive linemen? I mean, you could argue now with Nick Saban not in college football anymore, Brett Bielema's the best in the country at putting offensive linemen into the NFL. He's also got a pretty darn good record defensive lineman wise, but boy, the recruiting hasn't really translated there. Now, my personal theory is that defensive linemen may be the biggest premium in the game,
100%.
and you need to divert some of your NIL funds to that direction. And maybe we'll see that turn around a little bit with this change in Illinois recruiting we're seeing.
Yes, and I also think, I mean, you see a guy like Gabe Yakis come on the scene and really produce well, and then last year was a step back, and I think he would be the first one to tell you that he didn't perform as well. Why was that? Was it his fault? Was it positional versatility? Was it the fact that he didn't have four NFL guys behind him? I mean, that's part of it too. And it's, or an Alec Bryant, highly recruited kid, goes to Virginia Tech, and now he's here, and I'm hoping for some big things for him this year. But it's just, It's a crapshoot with those guys, and when you're looking at those guys who jump off the page from a pure athleticism standpoint at that position, they're so highly coveted that now you're fighting the Alabamas, Michigans, Ohio States, Oregons, USC's of the world to get those guys, and it's really, really difficult. You got a 6'4" guy who's running a 4.440 at 240 pounds with some long arms. I'm like, dude, good gracious, Oklahoma, Texas, everybody's going to be on that kid. So it's really hard to kind of evaluate. That's why a guy like Johnny Newton was so incredible, because he didn't necessarily have all the measurables, but you could see that he could play. And then obviously it produced and turned out to be a first round draft pick, so, or second round draft pick.
Now, what to expect from this year's team? The end of the season, Illinois turns into a passing machine, and all of a sudden we're like, whoa, Air Bielma? Now, as fans, what are we expecting from this offense when the season opens up? Maybe not against Eastern, but let's say when they roll in, when Kansas rolls into town.
Well, I think there's a little bit of, we talked about this on Illini guys through the forums. You guys have talked about it. As you look at Ryan Walters' evolution as a defensive coordinator, his first year wasn't very good, and his second year, all of a sudden, to the back end of the season, was really good, and it progressed from there. I think we're seeing that with Lunny. I think Barry. I've had the pleasure of sitting down and watching a high school football game with the guy, and he's a brilliant guy, and I think he really knows what he's doing, and he's run successful offenses before in the past. But you go back to this, the little bit of that pass happy offense was, I mean, we didn't have a lot of healthy guys in the backfield to turn around and hand the ball off to. So I think you had to acquiesce to it. And I think John Paddock is probably better than we all realized. He's seems like he's getting a little bit of a chance to potentially make the Atlanta Falcons, and we'll see where that goes there. But frankly, Luke Altmyer beat him out, and I think Luke Altmyer was top five quarterback in the league, even though, I mean, some folks will you can look at the Penn State game, which really highly skews his numbers, but he's a pretty efficient quarterback. And, nickname Lukey Legs from the Eyes on Big Ten podcast. I really dig that because he's got the ability to run. But I think it's starting to come to fruition where these guys are and Barry's comfortable with his system. And frankly, I think the offense is going to be better than the defense this year. I think this is going to be an offensive laden team, and we're going to have to score points. And I think the offense is ahead of the defense, and that's just where it's going to be this year, which is going to be a little weird for a Brett Bielema team. And I don't know that we're going to be able to go full ball control. I don't know how much we can help expect a lot from Josh McCray. Unfortunately, he just can't stay healthy. But when he's healthy, he's pretty dynamic. Aiden Loffrey's, a little slight. And Fagan's coming off an injury, and then where do we go with Jordan Anderson? So, I think you're going to see some double tight end opportunities for because these tight ends seem like they're better pass catchers, and so we'll run some disguises there and get some guys out in the flat. To me, it's the season is going to hinge on the defense, specifically the defensive line. Can these guys who are moving into positions of need and stepping into the transfer portal, if they can come in and be effective? I honestly believe the secondary is going to be a lot better. I mean, we made some changes there for a reason. And hey, listen, Ryan Walters got better in his second year. Barry Lunny got better in his second year. I think Aaron Henry will get better in his second year, but you are certainly missing a real dynamic piece without having big old Johnny Newton out there. And he made up for a lot of warts and a lot of mistakes at times in games. And you don't really have that to lean on, but we'll see.
Yeah, I feel like the depth of the roster is another advantage Illinois will have. You did see last year fatigue in the fourth quarter
100%.
become something, and that to me is one of the big indicators. You don't see that typically from Ohio State or Michigan or those teams, Penn State, that are deeper. And I think Illinois has that going for them. And I think Brett Bielema, for all the things people get frustrated about, I do think the day in, day out depth is stronger than it's been for, boy, but gotta go probably 2007, maybe.
Right. And I think that they addressed areas of need, like where guys weren't performing or got banged up in the secondary. It was really like, throw your hands up and do what now? You get a guy get kicked out of a game for spitting on a guy, and it's like, what are we going to do now? Like, I think that they addressed that through the transfer portal through recruiting. I do see some depth there. I'm agreeing with you. The depth is a lot better. The star power on the defense is just less without Randolph and Newton.
I think those impact players are what ultimately Brett Bielema needs to grab those impact players and find a way to win some of those recruitments because you got to have a guy. Now, obviously, people didn't know Johnny Newton was going to be that guy, but Illinois has had some opportunities, and we're hoping that they can maybe start winning some of those in-state recruitments with the 4 and 5 stars in Chicagoland that we've struggled with really for as long as I've been alive.
Yep. And from what it sounds like is that, you know, we're off to a good spot from a recruiting standpoint, but there's some kids out there, specifically from what I'm hearing, Chris Burgess, Notre Dame commit, Simeon kid might be wavering there. We all know that those things can change. Heck, it happened to us on the basketball side of the floor today. And then Donovan Starr, out of Brentwood, Tennessee, 4-star DB committed to Auburn. I'm hearing some things, you know, through the people that I know that there's an opportunity that Illinois could flip some of those guys. And that Burgess is exactly that guy you're talking about. You know, he's a 4-star,
yep,
top 200 kid, 6'4", 240, edge guy, you know, going to Notre Dame. I mean, this is everything you'd want. And if Illinois can somehow find a way to flip a kid like that, that's – and I think you also see we've seen it on the basketball side, right? You know, all of a sudden you get a little mojo, you get a kid here, you get a kid there, and Will Riley's like, hey man, this is an exciting place I want to be. Let's try that. And so I'm holding out hope that maybe Burgess is the guy that I'm really salivating over, and I'd love it if we could get our hands on him. And there's a little bit of optimism out there. I don't know if that'll come to fruition or not. I'm not, like I said, I'm not holding my breath, but that's exactly that kid you were talking about before that can make an impact on the edge that we really need.
Yeah, it would be nice to see Brett Bielema get his IO from Chicago from a parallel standpoint. I'm obviously not comparing, but we do need that type of personality and that type of guy who's got the talent and then has the ability to lead the change. And
absolutely,
that would be. So, final question here on the football side. If you had to bet, now I know that it's really early, it's July 1st. So we haven't had any type of early training. We don't know this person went down or this guy is exploding and we didn't expect that. But if you had to bet right now, what do you think, if you were going to put your best scenario and your worst scenario, where would you have this team?
I think best and worst are pretty close to one another. I think this is probably somewhere between a 5-7 and a 7-5 football team. I think worst case scenario could be 4-8. I think best case scenario, you could maybe squeak it out to 8-4. I think the schedule doesn't set up to a situation where you're like, oh, I get really excited. I mean, you got trips to Eugene and you know the national champions team coming to our place. I mean, it's tough. I mean, the schedule's tough. The Big Ten is really tough. Regardless, there's not a team on the schedule you look at like, oh, well, they're a pushover. We're just going to beat them. Rutgers is getting better. I think Northwestern will be better. We saw a pretty competent team from them last year, which was, you know, shocked a lot of us. Or are they going to go back to this team that goes bowl game last place again? Who knows? So that's why I'm holding out some. My optimism isn't quite where I would like it to be. Now, that being said, I think this team could be a 5-7 football team and in 11 of the 12 games, in 10 of the 12 games. I mean, you look at like the game at Eugene is actually thought about going because I've got my brother-in-law lives in Portland, but I don't know that I really want to go to that one. I just have a feeling it's going to be some – like we haven't had a whole lot of success going to the West Coast period in our days. All the way – we got to go back to the Glasnow Bowl before, you know, when we beat USC with Jeff George and 2 touchdowns in 6 minutes since we've had success out that way.
That's a tough place to play, too. Although I will say, if Brett Bielema teams pull the upset, they tend to pull them on the road.
That's true. Austin Zoo is a little bit of a crazy place to play. But that being said, Mike, I think we're going to be highly competitive. I think this is going to be a football team that Aaron Henry's second year, Barry Lunny's third year. I think the offense is I think the offensive line is, frankly, I think it's going to be improved. I know we lost some pieces on it, but I think we added them. I mean, J.C. Davis is a huge get.
Yep.
I think we're going if we're healthy moving in the trenches on that side of the ball, I think the offense will definitely score some points and keep us in games. And then just like we alluded to earlier, the depth on the defense is a lot better. And I think Aaron Henry, you know, I'm biased here. He's a friend. He's a great guy. He's a great human being. I've known him since he was 19 years old. So I'm pulling for him. And last year, certainly he wasn't pleased with that. He and I talked about it. He was really frustrated with what happened out there and he never pointed any fingers, but to himself. I just keep going back to it. The schedule's going to be really tough, and you got an unproven defense. You got a lot of, I mean, we obviously you got Seth Coleman and some guys there, but the defensive line, you're kind of looking at like who's going to step up here. And if we can't create some pressure with that front three, if we can't hold the line with that front three against the run, then, you know, we're going to have to win games 35 to 34. And that's going to be challenging against some of these higher echelon defensive teams. So
if we pivot over basketball, today was an interesting day as Jeremiah Fears decommitted as he is moving from the 2025 class to the 2024 class. And I thought it was the most amazing thing because we have a five-star that decommitted from the Illini. And on our board, which we have so many people who post on those message boards, which is part of the advantage of being a subscriber, people were calm, cool, and collected, which 2 years ago, if you'd have had a five-star decommit, it would have been mayhem. There'd have been blood. Your computer might have actually bled when you opened up the message boards. How's that for proving that the basketball program has turned some sort of corner?
Well, you're exactly right, Mike. I mean, it's, get out your cups, the nut punch, if you will, that has been circulating around the boards. You and I have been on boards together for well over a decade, right?
Yeah,
you know, we've heard it all. We've seen it all. And you're exactly right. And but I think the biggest factor here is that Jeremiah Fears, phenomenal basketball player. I think a lot of the family, and I know like Illinois fans who might not be as connected might not feel that way because, you know, the brother went to Michigan State and then this happens. But, you know, Kedrick Prince is just a wonderful human being. He's very connected with the family, has said nothing but glowing things about the family. You know, I'm connected with Ryan Ferran through our podcast. Ryan has said the same thing. Those guys were probably the two biggest authorities on the Fears family and the Fears recruitment. And Ferran said something to me a couple of weeks ago that made me like go, we might be in a little bit of a spot. But if Jeremiah wants to play next year at the major college level, frankly, Illinois isn't the place to do that. And frankly, it might not be the place to do it next year either. I mean, we have every single guy that's on the roster will have eligibility next year with the exception of Hamrick House, right? And you kind of already have guys there that you are expecting to kind of step up into his role, like a Kerry Booth when Hamrick House leaves and hoping that Trey White evolves as a player as well. So I it's just a weird situation. And you couple that with, just like you said, the calmness of this, and I think everybody's wishing him well, but Jasper Johnson is a five-star recruit, was on campus the weekend before last, and it was like, ho-hum, you know, Will Riley committed. We're more worried about that. So it's just I think it's a couple-fold. Is one, it's the reclassification from a guard standpoint has not always worked out very well. So I think Illinois fans feel like our backcourt is pretty solid, so it's not a huge blow. It's not a huge blow this year going forward. But number two, I think we've been desensitized to high school recruiting because of the transfer portal and because Brad Underwood and his staff have been so phenomenal in the transfer portal. I mean, just incredible in the transfer portal. Probably exceeded every other team in the conference from the success that we've had in this transfer portal. Probably a top three team in the country the last 3-4 years with what we've done in the transfer portal, even going back to Alfonso Plummer. So that takes a little bit of the sting out of it. Also understanding this program's is not dependent. This is not Io deciding he doesn't want to come to Illinois, which Io flipped the program around. We all know that. Illinois will be good with Jeremiah Fears. They'll be good without him. We'll be fine. So it's a really nice place to be. It was like, okay.
I look at fit so much. You and I were both manage people. And if you get somebody who's not a fit for the job, bottom line is, as you said, if your expectation is to play and you've got Kasparis there
Boswell.
You got Boswell and Draven Gibbs, LaHorne. I mean, and then you've got guys like Trey White, who's obviously a bigger guy, along with Ty Rogers. Those guys can all play the point as well. Well, now all of a sudden, but you've got a log jam, depending on the situation you're in. And typically, to defer to somebody who is a freshman playing during what could be their senior year is not where you're generally going to want to put the ball. And historically, for success in the NCAA playoffs, that's not a good place for someone to be either, you know, outside of a Magic Johnson.
Well, I think we even saw it last year, Mike, and everybody, I mean, DGL's abilities on the basketball floor have never been questioned. I mean, we saw what he did for Overtime Elite, and, it, you know, he has all the athleticism. He got to the college game, and there were times early in the season where it was, and he admits this, it was too much for him. And so what did he end up being by the end of the year? A defensive specialist. The kid worked his tail off, right? He wanted to be on the floor, and he figured out the way I'm going to be on the floor is I'm going to be the biggest pest I can be on the defensive end. And I think somebody coming in with Jeremiah Fears' expectations, that's probably not the right spot for him. So I really hope he can go to a place where he can play right away. I do think he's an NBA talent, and I think he's going to have a good career. It's just like you said, it's just not the right fit for Illinois. Not in the 2024-25 season anyway. And right. who knows what the roster looks like in 2025 and 26. You can never make the assumption of what it's going to look like, and maybe it'll hurt then. But Orlando Antigua's got us in on 5-stars guards across the board. We'll find another one. I mean, I hate to say it that way.
Yeah,
we'll find
another one. It seems like the combination of Antigua and Tim Anderson may be the best recruiting combination Illinois has ever had.
I think when you add in Jeff Anderson, I mean, he's not a Jay Price, and I'm not knocking Jay. Jay's a wonderful guy. I met him several times. He's a wonderful human being, but he just wasn't a recruiter. I mean, Jeff Alexander, for being your third guy, I mean, are you kidding me? That's your third guy? He kept Kofi, you know, I mean, like he was a big hand in that. So yes, this triumvirate, and obviously it starts with Antigua and Anderson, but you're exactly right, Mike. We're going to continue to be in on kids. And I do believe, you know, Sturdy has said this a lot on your website, that the change to looking at high school kids is starting, and it's starting right now because of the COVID year going away. It's going to make a huge difference when the class of Coleman Hawkins and Hunter Dickinson are no longer playing college basketball and you don't get that free fifth year. The transfer portal is going to adjust differently. And teams are just naturally going to get younger, and high school recruiting is going to become to the forefront again. And so it's exciting what this team is doing. Like I said, I can't say it enough. Like, I think from what I know of the Fears family, they're a first class family, and I wish him all the best, but if he wants to play this year, Illinois is not the spot.
I do think it could be interesting with Will Riley and Kasparis, is that Illinois could go from having 0 one-and-dones, if everything works out well, to 2.
Right.
Or both guys could be working on their skill set and come back for second year. That's why I don't know that it's something that I ever want to bank on. But from recruiting circles, it would be nice to have 2 things, a national title and a 1-and-done, just so you fill out the resume for the University of Illinois.
Yeah, and man, I know we're all overly excited about that practice video that was released this week, Mike. It was what we saw from Kasparis was a kid who, I say kid, he played with a Marcus Damask level of patience, it seemed like. It was just like the game seemed slow to him when we're watching those videos, and it was like, holy moly, this guy's got some skill set. And I remember there was a play in about a minute and a half in. It's like, who is that guy? Oh, that's Kerry Booth. Oh, Kerry Booth, a top 40 kid coming into a sophomore year. Like, there's so much talent on this team that a guy like that is kind of like an afterthought. And that's really, and I don't think he's an afterthought. I think it's my own perception is like, he might be the 8th guy on this team, but that's a really damn talented 8th guy. Like, incredible. This team has incredible talent from top to bottom. And I shared this on our show. I don't know if you feel this way. You know much more about putting the pieces together on a basketball floor. I think what we'll see from this team, especially the schedule is tough, I think you'll see some early season struggles. I think this is a team where fans are going to do the overreaction. We'll drop a game or two, look real clunky in a game or two. But by February, Illinois will be the team, like, who does nobody want to play in the tournament that as a 5 seed, as a possible 6 seed, and maybe even climb up and have a good Big Ten tournament run and maybe make another Elite Eight or a Final Four and everybody, and then preseason number one going in the next year, depending on what happens from roster turnover. That's honestly what I see, where I see this team going this year.
Yeah, I think this is an interesting year because Underwood's extremely good about looking at different lineups and trying to figure out who he likes on the court together.
Mm-hmm.
And I think also Tyler is a big part of that as well. And yes. I think you will see them experimenting, and that plays into Underwood's strengths. Now, where Brad's going to have to change a little bit is now there's no need to ride for 38 minutes with your starters. You can actually say, you know what, I'm going to go with this guy because, you know, I'm going to go with player B because player A is cold tonight. Doesn't mean that you don't go back to player A later on or the next game, but with this depth, he has the ability that you could have guys playing 30 minutes a game as the maximum. That gets you a more minutes to keep people happy. But look, when I look at Ivicic, you know, at center, 7'1", 250 pounds, the guy's a beast. Got it. He can shoot over each shoulder. So he's tough on the inside. He can shoot the three. He's not the quickest of foot, but he's a big guy. He plays 25 minutes. You have Morez playing 15.
Yep.
Morez has an energy level on a scale of 1 to 10 that's an 11.
Same with and Rogers. Right?
Exactly.
Yeah, all together, it's nice.
And he's only going to have 15 minutes. I'm telling you what. You put Morez, I mean, these people are going to go, oh, thank God the 7-1 guy's out. And then they're going to be like, what the heck is going on? Because they've got this guy who's literally a dog on defense because he is going to hunt. And I just look at the opportunities. And that's where I think playing different groups together to see who goes. Coach Underwood might be able to have some lineups that literally will drive other teams crazy. And provide the initiative. As a coach, one of the things I hated was when somebody would put a lineup out there that forced me to adjust what I wanted to do and the players in the game. Because I'd have to burn a timeout. I'd have to get the right guys in. And then we'd have to try to do whatever we needed to do differently to have success. If you can put in a couple lineups, one in the first half, one in the second half, that causes problems, and you time it up properly, you can totally cost a team 2 timeouts. You can get yourself, like, I lost a game as a coach when somebody switched a team on, they switched a lineup on me and threw up a press. I finally, instead of waiting 30 seconds of game time, I had to call a timeout, but it was in that 30 seconds of game time was 6 points. Well, we lost the game by 4. And yeah. I had to go into the locker room and tell them, hey, I got out coach, guys. And yeah. And he's got the opportunity to pull that trick on some people.
Well, if you get a couple guys to buy into some of this, and that's going to be challenging when you look at a talented roster as this. I mean, like, you could do a skill 5 and a dog 5. And what I mean by you could go Kasparis, Boswell, Will Riley, Hamrickhouse, Ivicevic, and call that your skill starting 5. And then off the bench, you could bring, you know, DGL, Ty Rogers, Trey White, Kerry Booth, and Morez Johnson, and just be like, dude, release the hounds on them. All of those guys are plus athletes at their position. All of those guys are plus size at their position. And you just be like, you could throw teams for a loop by throwing a second 5 in them to change the game. And Underwood, I do believe, is a really brilliant basketball mind, and he's going to have to get creative with it. I think he's going to have some fun with it. It's going to be so exciting because last year, you know, once we realized what we had in Marcus Damask, it was like, we're in a half court set. We need a bucket. We run through Marcus. You know, we're going to get a run out or be quick. It's running through Terrence. And that offense ended up being one of arguably the best in college basketball, especially for a period of time. This one is going to be about all the ancillary pieces. Like, that guy can get you 10. That guy can get you 10. That guy can get you 10. And it's going to be one of the biggest challenges for Brad to deal with. Cause I just talked about that. And there's a guy who transferred in from Mercer who could shoot the lights out, and I didn't even mention it, Jake Davis. So
he may not even make it onto the, I mean, he may have a tough time getting onto the floor. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah. He might have to redshirt. So
Yeah. So yeah, it sounds like we're both in sync on that. So the last question I'm going to ask you, and you're not prepared for this one, is there any good binge watching TV or any movie recommendations that you've got for folks who are out there listening?
You know, it's kind of funny, being that this show is such a complete wheelhouse for me, that I hadn't watched it and I just finished it recently. But if you haven't watched The Wire, I know a lot of people have heard it, and I just can't recommend it enough. It is tremendously well done. It exposes a lot of problems in our society. It looks at how, you know, the city manages police work. And I thought season 5, which didn't get a lot of critical acclaim, did a really nice job of bringing in how the press works with our systems along with politics. The Wire is just phenomenal television, in my opinion.
Yeah, I watched it this year for the first time.
You're like me.
And yeah, in the last year, I've when you work in Illini, guys, you have a regular job, mm-hmm. and then you do your stuff at night. So I have literally some of these shows I'll put on when we're not doing podcasts, I'm editing, et cetera, which if you see any editing issues, it's probably because I had the wrong thing on TV. But I will tell you that The Wire is an excellent show. Probably the most fun I've had watching a show in the last 6 to 8 months was Justified.
Oh, all right. Right on.
And Goggins is so good.
Yes.
And Oliphant.
Timothy Oliphant, yeah.
Yep, from Deadwood, which is one of my favorite shows of all time. I found that duo of those two was just spectacular. And the problem is then when I watched the new Justified where he went to Detroit, I'm like, this bad guy is just not, it's not Goggins. Walton Goggins is literally a must-watch TV guy. Even like little things like he guest starred for one episode of Big Bang Theory, and he's hilarious in that. But his newest one was Fallout on yes. Amazon Prime, and that was spectacular. And when he's on the screen, you're glued. So
yeah, I have that feeling about Sam Rockwell. I'll watch
it. Oh yeah,
Sam Rockwell does, and Goggins is right up there with it. And yeah, it's phenomenal. The challenge for me with Justified was like the challenge for me with The Wire is my wife has a hard time watching shows where there is without a true protagonist, right?
Yeah,
and the Wire is certainly the case. There's no hero in The Wire. It's just like there's no hero in Justified. It's a one guy trying to do good, but willing to bend the law for it. So that doesn't resonate. So I have to find an opportunity to watch those shows on my own time. But Justified, so we watched a couple episodes. She's like, it's not for me. So I have to get back into that myself. Now that I finished The Wire, maybe I will.
And the other one with Goggins, and this was just as good as Justified, maybe even better, was The Shield. Now I'm going back a long time.
Yep.
But Michael Chiklis.
Michael Chiklis, yeah.
Yeah, my wife was watching part of that with me, and she had the same problem yours did. Now she'll let me keep this stuff on, but the second there's anything even remotely looking like or behaving like torture, I have to turn it off.
Yeah, makes sense.
So she liked those, but I like to ask people, you know, especially you and I, of course, we've had some opportunities where we went out to dinner, et cetera. Absolutely. It's always fun to kind of see what people like to watch. We're living, to my opinion, the golden age of television, where
absolutely.
All these great shows.
Really excited to watch season 3 of Mayor of Kingstown. That's one I can't watch with her either. No protagonist whatsoever, no hero for sure in that one, but really excited for that one. There's just so much good stuff out there. So
yep, perfect. I really appreciate having you come on. I know that you had a busy schedule, and I'm keeping you away from the family. You can find Kevin on Keeping It Orange and Blue. Their podcasts are out there on YouTube as well, so you can certainly find any of those. Thanks so much for coming on tonight.
Well, it was a pleasure, my friend. It's always a pleasure to talk to you and, you know, support Illini guys in any way that I can. So thank you so much for the opportunity to do this cross-collaboration, if you will.
Excellent. Take care.
You too, my friend.
Whether you live in Champaign or Chicago, halfway across the country, or on the other side of the world, IlliniGuys.com keeps you in the know, be it in-game results, top-level stories, or the latest behind-the-scenes info and recruiting. IlliniGuys.com has you covered. For about 25 cents a day, you can have an inside path to your favorite Illini teams, and we'll even throw in a free 7-day trial to kick the tires. Go to IlliniGuys.com, click the register button, and get immediate access to dozens of stories each month, message forums, free giveaways, and more. IlliniGuys.com.
If I was your mother and you had a drug problem, I'd grab you by the ear and make you call and get help. You can be in treatment tomorrow and start to get clean in 7 days. Follow mom's advice and call the Detox and Treatment Helpline now. Write this number down.
800-980-1761. 800-980-1761. 800-980-1761. That's 800-980-1761.
Thanks so much for Kevin Ducey for showing us a good time here. Keeping It Orange and Blue is his podcast. You can see that out there on YouTube. We really enjoyed him visiting. And of course, folks, we really are happy that you were able to come to this podcast. Whether you're listening or whether you're watching on YouTube, we appreciate it. Certainly, if you can subscribe to the YouTube page, if you're on the audio side, we distribute Eye on the Illini to just about every single audio company out there that has a platform for podcasts. Please subscribe to that. That way you won't worry about missing one. And if you like the inside information, Kevin is actually one of our subscribers. He talks about the message pages and the message boards in back. That is really big because then you can talk back and forth amongst Illini fans. Plus, you can talk to Brad. You can talk to Ked. You can talk to Larry. You can talk to Matt. You can talk to other people, other subscribers like Kevin. It's a lot of fun. We get a lot of mileage of people having fun out there and talking back and forth. Plus, you can get clarity on articles and ask questions. It's really worth the price, $99 a year. So that's a whole year, and you get the full articles and everything else associated with the website. But the message boards is where you can put things that you can't get two sources to, because sometimes we hear rumors only from one person and they're not willing to go on the record. We can put it in there. We're not going to publish an article on it. The message boards can get you prepared so that you're not surprised by things. With that, folks, we will be back. Please have a happy and safe 4th of July. Until next time, go Illini.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.